Mike here. Quick note. If you enjoy listening to Elise and I break down episodes and films on this podcast, you should know we have an entirely separate podcast through Patreon. There we break down New York City-based rom-coms like When Harry Met Sally, You've Got Mail, Hitch, Trainwreck, Bros, and many more to come.
I think that we should yell at children more often. Not parents. Parents, be nice to your kids. But the rest of us should sometimes take children out to task a little.
I never yelled at a child, but I did have an arch nemesis who was like 8 years old. Like, hearing you talk about it, I'm like, well, then why would they do all that for just that moment? But then you think about it, and if they didn't, it would look like the movies I made in high school with my friends. We're really, really concerned about the bottom line of Bros.
I really am. I feel like we've already found ways they could have saved money on the budget.
Right.
If they just would have asked us about it.
For $4 a month, you get 3 to 4 episodes monthly covering a rom-com, and we're doing some fun bonus content as well. You can find us on the Patreon app by searching We Couldn't Help But Wonder, or through our website, wecouldn'thelpbutwonder.com. Hope you join us there. Hello, Elise Castle.
Hello, Mike Jensen.
We are at the finale of season one.
The grand finale.
Oh, come all ye faithful. I see what you did there.
I see it.
Uh-huh. This debuted August 23rd, 1998. Directed by Matthew Harrison, who directed the episode before this. And written by MPK.
Our favorite.
He is wrapping up this first season, and he wraps it up pretty well, I think.
Yeah.
So we also have the DVD recap. Mr. Big introduces Carrie to his mother as a friend, causing Carrie to ponder where the relationship is headed. Miranda breaks up with Catholic Guy because of his sexual hangups and returns to Skipper's always open arms. Spoilers. Samantha finally gives relationships a try, but soon finds out that size does matter. Charlotte is dismayed to discover that all the fortune tellers in the city agree on one thing: her eternal status as a single woman. We dive right into a plot point for someone. There's no contemplative.
Nope.
New York is sort of like we get right to Miranda is dating Tom.
My friend Miranda was dating Thomas John Anderson, an up-and-coming New York playwright.
Played by Tony Award winner John Benjamin Hickey.
Of The Normal Heart.
Of The Normal Heart. That's what he won his Tony Award for. He was on The Big C with Laura Linney. He's just, in general, a fantastic actor. And
so
a very
great,
like, quintessential New York actor.
Yeah, and you know what? This actually brought up a point for me because I always go to the IMDb page for every episode, and I like to really see, like, who the other actors are and what else they've done. And because this was a New York show with only four, I guess five with Big, main characters, there was a ton. It really, like, allowed these New York actors to have these moments.
Yeah, like, every episode you have, like,
right,
anywhere from 5 to 10 New York actors who get to come in and do
something.
Their thing.
And
yeah,
it's not like Law and Order, I feel like, where they come in and have this just kind of, you know, I'm playing a dead prostitute.
Right.
You know, they,
no,
have
they really get to
points.
Play characters.
Yeah, and especially since these women are, like, dating all these, I like that. I think it's really cool. And also because this was 20 years ago, it's interesting to watch it now and see where a lot of these bit parts, where their careers have taken them.
Yeah, absolutely. So we see the problem here pretty quickly.
Okay. The problem I had was their sex scenes.
Okay, so
they do this camera shot on TJ, we'll call him, Thomas John. They do this camera shot on him that is like the Blair Witch Project.
Right. I was going to say, so the problem that is addressed is that he is very religious.
Mm-hmm.
And we quickly find out that after they have any sexual encounter, he has to go take a shower because he feels dirty.
Right.
My real issue is that he has to finish in the same position every time, creepily not looking at her,
right,
staring at the wall, shouting, oh God.
With back sex. Or with back sweat. But, like, that camera angle they've chosen to use.
They're emphasizing the creepiness of all of it, for sure.
I was like, ugh.
Yeah, it's pretty creepy. So so he's going to be right back. Miranda brings it up, you know, she does. I don't know how long she lets it go on for, but she does sort of say, like, hey, what's the deal here?
Well, and also kind of a callback to last week's episode. I noted, Miranda, see, everything's fine.
Yeah. Oh,
she's,
yeah,
like,
she,
her 3 month dry spell.
She made it
it's
through.
Clearly over.
But way to break the dry spell.
Yeah.
And it's the nuns.
Growing up, the nuns told us that sex was a sin. So I just, you know, got into the habit of taking a shower after I, you know, came.
Oh, the nuns.
We do sort of get into religious guys
right
now. So I am not religious. I do not go to church. I was raised religious. But do not consider myself at all religious anymore. But you go to church from you go pretty regularly.
Well, yes.
Somewhat regularly.
I should, not that I should, because I would like to go more often.
So Carrie is in a cute outfit. They kind of talk about like religious guys in general.
If I'd known he was Catholic, I never would have gone out with him in the first place. They should make them wear a sign.
And then, yeah, we get the question really early on.
Our relationships, the religion of the 90s. And I also think, like, kind of just kind of throwing back to what you said, too, we're kind of shown early on that Thomas John Anderson was raised Catholic in a private school and very has this Catholic guilt, is what they say.
Absolutely.
You know, in my experience with any sort of religion is like the most open-minded church I could possibly find in New York City. So, you know, it's kind of like my experience is not that experience.
Yeah, I mean, once again, I was raised religious, and I will say this, and I feel bad as I say it, but I associate religion to oppression and guilt and making you feel bad.
Right.
So, though I see, I don't agree with Tom's character and what he does, I get where that comes from.
Yeah.
But also see a therapist.
Right. Please.
So Carrie mentions that she was raised in the religion of...
Having been raised in the church of be nice to people and don't talk with your mouth full, I decided to check out some more traditional religious types in their natural habitat.
And then suddenly, as she's going on her little walk...
There he was, wearing Armani on Sunday.
We get a glimpse. She has no lines in this particular scene, but we see Big coming out of the church with his mother, played by Marion Seldes. Am I
also,
saying her name right?
I think so.
Okay.
A Tony Award.
Tony Award two-time. Well, she has two Tonys. One was honorary. She is not with us anymore.
No, she passed away in 2000. I actually wrote this down because there's two actresses in this episode.
Oh, yeah. I made notes on both of them as well.
2014, she passed away.
And random fact, her birthday is August 23rd. So I wonder if for her 70th birthday... She sat down and turned on HBO and watched her appearance on Sex and the City. Maybe, maybe not. But I just thought that was such a random fact.
Yeah.
Big comes in over to talk to Carrie, and we find out that Big is an atheist.
Mm-hmm.
But he still takes his mom to church every week.
And Carrie, in her, like, workout outfit that she's not working out in, is just like, okay, I have to go. I don't have time for a half-hour coffee.
Well, she says something, I think, for the first time. I don't think she's mentioned this, but she's going to say it again. It's a phrase that she says every once in a while, which is, this cappuccino just kicked in, which I just think means that she's going to have to poop in a little bit.
Oh, okay.
I know that's not what she's saying, but I think it's funny that, like, drinking a coffee, oh, and now I can write.
Right.
Now I am ready to write some stuff.
Yeah.
It's just funny, and it's something that she says not...
Infrequently.
They have a weird goodbye, and I guess the weird goodbye is because it was a weird interaction.
Yeah, I thought that, too.
But if you've been sleeping with someone for several months, you're not even going to, like, give them a kiss on the cheek.
No, that's
goodbye.
What I thought. I was like... And also, how angry she gets later in this episode, or disappointed, I don't know, and... It made me think, too, how long have they been together at this point?
Well, they just say several months.
Right.
And several could be three. Several, I suppose, could be six.
Right.
Yeah, we'll get to it. I
don't know if she's playing hard to
well.
Get at this point or kind of like, I don't know.
So we go to the three ladies having a drink. How did you feel about their...
I wrote, the Cosmos look a little paler.
Yeah.
Good job.
They
were in like a different glass, too.
A different glass,
looked a little bit lighter. And we learn that Samantha is in love.
We do. Well, first we learn that the church that he goes to is a Park Avenue Presbyterian.
Okay.
Which I wanted to mention because there is a Park Avenue. Fun fact, after the recording of these episodes, Elise and I are going to go have a nice little dinner on the Upper East Side, like literally two blocks from where this church is.
Oh, really?
So we'll have to walk by and like, just take a look and see if it looks like the church in the episode. I also just want to say, I think that Sarah Jessica Parker says, because I think it's Zagat, isn't it? I think it's Zagat.
I never know how to say it.
She says Zagat.
Good church. It's one of the best on the East Side. What are you, rating churches? Is there a Zagat guide for that?
4 stars. Great bread. Disappointing wine selection.
See, I always have said Zagat.
I used to always say Zagat, and then I was corrected that it is Zagat.
Okay.
So if someone knows this for sure, but I'm pretty sure it's Zagat.
And we're talking nothing about church right now. We're talking about a restaurant guide.
Yes, there's a guide. It's not just New York, I don't think. They have other places.
No, Z-A-G-A-T.
Yeah, and it comes out every year. And
they have ratings.
Exactly,
yeah.
And I think it's Zagat. So Sam is in love.
I just had a five-hour lunch with James.
Five-hour lunches, I remember those.
Ladies, I have an announcement. Please don't laugh. I'm in love.
We are introduced to the character of James.
Mm-hmm. We have this flashback moment with how she met him, which, okay, this episode, I've come into this show with an open mind, and I have an open mind. I'm like, I'm not going to sit here and just dog on Sex and the City and be like, this show is ridiculous. But this episode, I couldn't help but wonder. No, I couldn't help myself. Samantha is ridiculous.
Okay, her reaction to the music, like as the music is...
I'm doing it. She's like dancing and she's doing this like chair dance, she's similar to what she did with Siddhartha with that weird sexy chair dance.
She's feeling so much. Like she is just in the music.
And he can't help himself. He comes up to her. We get this weird flashback. He comes up to her. She took herself out on a single jazz date. So he comes up to her and he's like, I just couldn't help but notice the way you move
to the music.
And her response, well, I love jazz.
Yeah, we meet James, played by James. Fun fact. Okay. James Goodwin. He doesn't have a lot of recent credits, so I don't know what happened, but he's good in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's an interesting meet. Sam is... she's kind of ridiculous.
She is, and it comes like... I don't know. It's just watching her... I mean, she does a great job with this character.
Yeah.
But I just can't believe...
It's a heightened character heightened show.
Yes, but I think out of the four, hers is just Mount Everest, if we're talking heights. And can we talk about how Andrew... Is that his... No, James, sorry. James has crispy... They have Krispy Kreme.
Yes, okay, so... Are there even Krispy Kremes in New York still?
Well, there is one in the, in Penn Station.
Okay.
But I remember was it you telling me about how, but I couldn't remember if it was in New York.
It was in New York. So where there are still Krispy Kremes, there's like the light in the front window.
That says like just baked or whatever.
Yeah, and it like comes on and turns red and that... It's funny because I told this to someone and they thought that the sign just only worked every once in a while. But that means that the glazed donuts are fresh.
Right.
So I cannot participate in a donut anymore, sadly. But back in the day, my philosophy was, I don't care if you just ate a 10-course meal. I don't care if you're so full that the idea of food makes you ill. If the light is on at the Krispy Kreme, you go in and you get a fresh Krispy Kreme glazed donut, because there is nothing like it in the world. I miss them so much. There used to be one on 72nd Street, so I work in the Upper West Side, and I would go by. There was one on 23rd, which seasons from now we will come back to, and we will see the Krispy Kreme on 23rd.
Now, why did they get rid of all these Krispy Kremes and just put Dunkin' Donuts everywhere?
I don't know. I don't know why. I don't...
Krispy Kreme, if you're listening,
where'd you go?
Please come back.
Come back.
And do a gluten-free option for our friend Michael.
Oh, I do. Yeah, I miss a Krispy Kreme.
I guarantee that if a Krispy Kreme came back, I would partake.
Oh, they're so good. They're so good.
Shout out Krispy Kreme.
Krispy Kreme.
We will sponsor you.
We love you. Well, you should sponsor us.
Yeah, you have more money. But either way, just we will do free advertisements if Krispy you give Kreme. Us donuts. Yeah,
James has a horrible line. I don't know if you wrote it down or not.
I don't think I did.
Because he mentions that it's like a Krispy Kreme is the closest to heaven. And Samantha's like, I never thought that I'd get in.
Yeah.
And then he says, an angel like you.
And then they leave with a handshake.
They leave with a handshake. So Sam doesn't invite him in, which is considered a big deal. That for the first time ever, she doesn't sleep with someone on the first date.
And then we meet Noni Stein, who lived in a brownstone between Central Park West and Columbus.
Yeah, well, Charlotte. Sorry. We have the scene where she thinks Charlotte and says that she really thinks that she could get married. That's how the flashback ends. Now, this sends Charlotte into a bit of a tizzy, which feels a little unearned. And the line is the idea that Sam could get married before her. Sam's a little bit older than you. So if she gets married before you, it's okay, Charlotte. But yeah, this sends Charlotte into going to see, what's her name? name?
Noni Stein.
Noni Stein.
Who lived in a brownstone between Central Park West and Columbus. And there are actually a lot of brownstones.
There are a lot of them,
Central
and they
Park
are
West and Columbus.
Highly desired real estate.
Right.
Though probably less so if this took place 20 years ago and she had lived there for, say, 30 years.
Right.
That's how you would have gotten that apartment. She's played by Marcia Jean Kurtz.
Mm-hmm.
And she's another one of those actresses who's
right.
been in so much. Especially, I noticed a lot of Darren Aronofsky. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, she was in Requiem for a Dream.
Yes,
she was
I noticed
in
that.
Black Swan.
Mm-hmm.
She was just in Mother, a movie
oh, wow.
that everyone
yeah, she
hated
was.
Except for me. I loved that movie. Yeah, so I wonder if there's just a connection there, or if she's just a New York actress and he likes her. But anyways, I thought that was fun to see all that she'd done.
Yeah, and I loved her part because she's doing this whole card reading with Charlotte and she's just like, I don't see marriage.
Well, I like that she doesn't try to make Charlotte happy. I like that she's not like, I want to make sure the customer leaves yeah. happy. She's like, I just don't see
it. Honey, I'm a psychic. I'm not a shrink.
I don't see marriage.
Don't
and she
see
looks like Miss Hannigan. Like the way she's all dressed up with the pearls.
Yeah, she's really good. I like that.
Do you want someone just to say that to you? Just like,
just let me know.
Yeah.
So we cut to Carrie and Big eating more spaghetti.
Yeah, and how do they keep these bodies?
I don't know, because they only ever eat Szechuan or spaghetti. Like, those
right.
are the only two kinds of food they eat.
And this is the time, too, when I was like, okay, how long have they been together? Because we don't find out till later. She says it out loud. But at this point, I started to wonder. And
Carrie asks about the mother,
mm-hmm.
basically starts bringing her up.
I want to go to church with you and your mommy.
Big shuts her down pretty quickly.
Yeah, and it's like, you're not going to beat my mom, but I'll take you to the Caribbean next
yeah,
week.
It's an interesting consolation prize.
Right.
But also, as soon as you bring up meeting the parent and the person isn't cool on it, I guess you have to make some decisions right then. You're
well,
either not going to care about it. You're going to decide this isn't important. Because that's it. Like, you can't be like, but I want to. I mean, that's...
But at this point, too, I didn't know how long they had been together. So it's kind of one of those things where if they had been together for a long enough time, it would make sense. But I'm also thinking, you know, is this new? And maybe he's just like, I don't want you to meet my mom yet because I'm not even sure what we are.
Right. Carrie seems to have, I don't want to say a certainty, but maybe in her mind she has a certainty that Big clearly does not have, that she
right.
thinks this is going somewhere and he isn't quite as sure.
Yeah.
So we go back to Miranda and Creepy Guy.
Yeah, weird Blair Witch sex.
Oh, God.
And she kind of tries to encourage him to stay, and he just needs to go take that shower, and she has the line.
There's nothing sinful about sex.
And he freaks
out.
Yeah, he freaks
all right, TJ
out.
Explodes.
Yeah, he goes pretty crazy.
It's a miracle. I'm healed. Oh, you're free to go work with the lepers now. I guess this means I'm not going to hell. Great news!
And I have many thoughts about this. I mean, he seems... One would think he is an enlightened individual. And I guess what I mean by that is he recognizes... He seems to recognize that he has a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he seems to recognize that he has this deep-rooted shame that he can't shake... But he's not interested in doing anything about it.
Yeah, which I find interesting because if there's... So what it sounds like to me is he has this thing that has been that religion or the way he was raised in religion has kind of given him this shame. And but he still is defending the religion. Whereas if there's anything in my life that I feel like has given me a lot of shame that I don't think should, I would question it. And
right.
try to work through it.
Yeah, and especially, I mean, I guess it's to say that a playwright would be an enlightened individual. And he just clearly is not a terribly enlightened individual, at least in this particular subject.
Right.
And he finishes it with, like, I'm saved. And he's quite ill.
Yeah.
I think he's quite, he needs to seek some help. And even just the look on his face as he tells Miranda to go in the end.
Yeah.
Like, he almost smiles. Like
he's like, I'm going to take the shower. And
well,
when
I do
come
like
out,
that he walks into the bathroom to put a towel around his waist to come back out to tell her to
yeah,
leave.
Yeah.
I'm
going to
go take a shower. When I come out, I'd kind of like it if you weren't here.
You got it.
Yeah, he's not well.
And then later she says that this would be a scene in his hit off-Broadway play, Shower of Shame.
So he recognizes that this is not good.
But do you think it's one of those things where it's that suffering artist where
yeah,
it's like, I'm
yeah,
just going to sit
true.
In it? Also...
Oh, goodness, a religious artist. We just put some
yeah.
anguish together.
And also, like, we've just given a lot of depth to this character. And also shower of shame.
Shower of shame.
I was thinking, like, I would love for that to be how I got my equity card. The off-Broadway production of Shower of Shame. Or also, like,
Castle.
Yeah, or also, is Shower of Shame one of those VHS tapes in the corner of your room?
It's both.
It's both.
So now we go to the sad
moment for Samantha.
Sad moment for Samantha, as she's finally ready to have sex with James.
Just unzip and put it in.
And he already has.
Samantha said a little prayer that he was kidding. He wasn't.
Yeah, there's no foreplay. Also,
there's no foreplay, and like
we had to get there, I suppose. For
he must not have underwear on.
I guess not,
because he hasn't even undone his belt.
What? Yeah, we don't know what we don't see though.
No,
he for sure doesn't put a condom on. He for sure does not use protection.
So Samantha, that is wrong.
Yeah.
You know
better. This is an ongoing thing in Sex and the City, that like sex scenes seem to never, even if we go back and talk about Miranda and Tom, there's no taking off of a condom. I mean, I'm not saying you need to show us it, but I would like,
it's some, you know, if you're going to be such a statement piece for the 90s.
Yeah. Like at least let's imply that we're using condoms in these scenes. But she says put it in, he does, and she realizes
he has a little wiener.
Yeah, we'll get back to it. So we cut to Sunday morning,
where Carrie and Miranda decide to sneak into Big's church just to get a peek,
which seems, maybe don't sit down,
maybe don't sit down, or maybe don't dress like you are chorus girls in Carousel.
No, I love Miranda's hat with her lip. Mm-hmm. With her outfit.
I love Carrie's outfit, but I don't love the hat.
Okay. No, her hat not so much, but I really like Miranda's hat. Mm-hmm. I feel like Miranda's hat and lip like matched. Yeah.
And Carrie's like, I'm going to try to be inconspicuous, but let me find the biggest hat.
And sit in the front row of the balcony.
Right.
Also, this is why we don't put things on the rail.
No.
This is why if you go to a theater and you're
you
in the
never
front row,
put a belt, they, something
they're
on
telling
a
you don't
rail.
Put things down there. It's because this will happen.
Carrie places a Bible down and...
Yeah, hits makes a huge scene. You'd be a really good Foley artist.
Thank you.
And Big and his mom come back and look. Carrie has a fight. I do like Carrie's reaction of where she kind of like gestures what just happened. Carrie decides to stay. Tells Miranda that she's okay. Carrie decides to stay. Do you think she should have stayed?
I think she should have maybe stayed until Big's mother gets in her car, as Carrie sees her do, and then talk to him and be like, this is what I do, not stay and awkwardly try to meet his mother, who's giving her a Joan Crawford look.
Yeah, and it's her trying to inject herself into this. I don't feel like this is her trying to make the situation better.
No, it's her being
her trying to inject herself into his life,
right? Like the same thing with the, he's just trying to watch the fight, Carrie,
right? Yeah, so this is a lot of Carrie. And then, of course, he introduces as his friend, Carrie, and there's no recognition. And she even has that horrible line where she says,
Carrie.
As though by saying her name twice, the mom will be like, oh, yes, of course he's mentioned you and the fact that he loves you and wants to marry you. Like, it's so awful and awkward. And yeah. And then after the mother leaves, and it's the whole, my mother doesn't need to meet another girlfriend. Which, of course, is going to sting. And right into, like, I'll introduce you when I'm sure.
And then we hear that it's been for months.
Yeah, it's been for months. But it's just the whole scene is awful. And whether or not Carrie kind of deserves it, because she kind of deserves it a little bit, it's still awful. Yeah. And you would feel awful. Like, if you were seeing someone in this scene unfolded, I do have empathy for Carrie in the situation.
Right. Because
it's a very, very sad scene. And then we have one of those scenes that I just love so much that I literally almost burst into tears. And it's not even a sad scene, but I just love Miranda coming back. And her line of,
I didn't leave. You didn't seem fine.
I love their friendship so much.
He's getting emotional, you guys.
I really could. I just love it. And it's, I just love that. And I love the two of them. I love their connection. So they have their little conversation, which is just a recap of what we've been talking, you know, just recap of what they're going through.
He introduced me to his mother as a friend. She never heard of me. That isn't a good sign.
Maybe they're not that close.
Come on, don't lie. You're in a church.
That's just funny. And then we cut to Limelight. How fun.
Yeah, I noticed that. And I was like, oh, Limelight was still there in 98. And I don't think it closed till 2000.
Well, I moved to New York in 2000 and I went to Limelight.
Okay.
I went to Limelight, I want to say, and yeah, it was with my ex, so it would have been 2001.
Right.
Limelight, the structure still exists. It's like a marketplace now.
I think it's now a gym.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it was. So Limelight was like a big club.
It was one of the big New York clubs.
With all the club kids.
It was fun. Drama. I mean, I only went there like once or twice. Yeah,
there's some documentaries about it if you want to.
Did it have
see.
Like a fish tank upstairs?
I mean, they had different parties all the time.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, you can. It's right on 20th and 5th.
It's on 6th.
20th and 6th.
Yeah, it's in Chelsea.
And there is. It's a former church that was then turned into a club. Which was then turned into like a, I don't know what was in between, but then it was turned into the Limelight Marketplace.
Yeah, eventually it was a marketplace.
And I believe
it's a gym now.
I think it's just a gym at this point. Mm-hmm. But or maybe it's a little bit of both. But the outside structure is still the same. It's still a church.
It's still a church. It's pretty cool. Like, it's a pretty amazing structure. And I mean, I only went there once or twice. I wasn't like a big club person, but
a what?
Club.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so Stanford's there doing a like launching of his
fragrance. His fragrance, but I assume he's doing PR or whatever it is that he does. And we're staying with the religious theme, so it's Fallen Angel. Carrie has lots of hair.
She has lots of hair. She has extensions in. She has to. And then we meet Aran.
Alan.
Sorry, so I didn't
like
write it down.
The sort of French Alan, and I'm gonna say his name. His first name is Dwayne. His last name is Boot.
Yeah, and he also is a New York actor.
Yeah,
he's I feel like he's currently, because I also try to like find these people on Twitter so I can like tell them that we're doing this. And I think he's currently in a play in New York right now.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, but he doesn't have a Twitter. But people were tagging him and stuff. Something super small that I caught on.
Okay.
I love that Stanford says it's like hell with a cover charge, talking about this, because like that made me laugh because I'm like, every club to me is like hell with a cover charge. And I feel like you can relate to that. And then he introduces Carrie to Alan.
Uh-huh.
And Carrie says,
"Hi, nice to meet you finally."
"You too?"
And I don't know if this was intentional, but I thought it was like, because the scene right before, Big's mom had no idea who Carrie was. And the next scene, we meet Stanford's new boy and Carrie's heard of him. So I don't know. I just thought that was like an interesting. Yeah. I mean, probably had nothing to do, but maybe I'm reading too much into it.
I assume this is the moment in which you texted me one name three times.
I did. I texted Mike immediately, and it's huge written in my notes right now. You can see it. It says, "Skipper is here."
Yeah, we got Skipper.
I'm watching this alone in my bedroom. And at that moment, I just went... Like, I mean, come on. Like, I do love Skipper, and I consider myself a Skipper. However, like, the fact that now I've gasped... I've really worked myself up.
You have.
Yeah, Skipper's back, and I'm kind of pissed at Miranda.
Well, they have an interesting... Why are you pissed at Miranda?
Because he's like, "You look great." And she's like, "You look great." And we'll get to why I'm pissed at Miranda, because I don't think it happens in this scene.
No, right here, she just eats her onions.
Cocktail onions. She's got a Gibson, then. No Cosmo.
Yeah, she's eating the onions from her Gibson. And then we cut to the ladies in the bathroom, where Sam has her breakdown.
Relax.
Oh, I see. I think this scene is tricky. And I think that Kim Cattrall plays it as well as she possibly can.
She plays it well, but also it's kind of rude to men.
It is. It's not rude to all men.
But he has no control over that.
No, absolutely.
Like, in this day and age, I'm just playing devil's advocate. In 2018, if there was a guy... like, with a girlfriend being like, "I just can't date her. She has small boobs." Could you imagine, like, the outrage?
Right. I don't know. It's hard because we've established that Samantha, sex is a really important part of her
life. Right, I guess. I was just trying to, like, at that moment be, you know, try to...
I totally get it. And it's something that, once again, you have no control over.
Right. And maybe it is, I guess you're right. Maybe it is tricky because she's actually just upset. She's not like...
And she's upset that she's upset.
Right.
"Is he a good kisser?"
"Oh, who the fuck cares? His dick is like a gherkin." "I feel so terrible. Listen to me. I'm a bad person."
But she's upset about it. You know, she thinks she's a bad person.
But we have to comment on that line. We can't just say, "I'll insert that line." That is the best line that I have heard in this series. Charlotte says, "Is he a good kisser?" And Samantha's response is, "Who the fuck cares? His dick is like a gherkin." A gherkin. Which...
are not 3 inches, for which, the record.
But also, hard. She's like, it's 3 inches. Hard. And a gherkin is like the best analogy.
I literally, it's all that I think of whenever I see a gherkin.
Well, it's all I'm going to think of now whenever I see a gherkin.
And I enjoy a gherkin, for the
record. Gherkins are great.
They're delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Charlotte still tries to console her with...
How is he with his tongue?
Charlotte's trying to make this work.
I was trying to relax.
This also, now Charlotte goes to see Madame Lourdes, played by Novella Nelson.
Who passed away in 2017.
She passed away just last August, but she did so much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you go to her IMDb page, she did much, including, I know her from 2 episodes of The West Wing, which is my actual favorite show. Someone do a documentary on her. I don't know. I just would like to... She just seemed like she was a working actress.
Yeah,
and she never became famous for it. She's not someone that probably got recognized in the street all that often. Maybe she did. I don't know. But she was just she seems like she was just a character actress.
Yeah.
She did tons of work, made a living, it seems, doing acting. I don't know. That's the kind of career that I really respect.
Yeah.
We get to... Oh, yeah. So she had this the whole ceremony where...
You'll never be married. You are cursed. But do not worry, for $100, we can remove it.
And then Charlotte leaves, and she's wearing that hair salon wrap again. The same thing she was wearing
to the baby shower. It has to just be her jacket. That's what you look like.
Yeah, a hair salon coat.
We get back to Miranda and Skipper.
Mm-hmm. Which, this is where Miranda pisses me off.
You want to spend the night?
The night? The whole night?
Yeah, the whole night.
I knew we'd get back together.
You did, huh?
Yep. Every night I'd light a candle and say a little prayer.
Once again, I think we're staying with the religious theme.
Right, and it pisses me off because she's done this with him before.
Yeah.
She knows what she's getting into.
She knows what she's doing.
And
I feel like Skipper has become the person that she goes to when she's not feeling good about herself.
Yeah, don't hurt him, Miranda. Yeah.
It's a little low. It's a little low. What I noticed about this scene that's really, really random, but I love, if you watch it again, Carrie's in the background.
Yeah, so Carrie be like, don't do it, Skipper.
But she's like across the balcony. Like she's literally a background player. The lead actress in this TV show is a background player for a scene between Miranda and Skipper. And it probably took them, they film it in, I think it's one shot. If not, I'm sure they filmed it very, very quickly. But I just really liked that.
Yeah.
I like that SJP was like, I'm going to go stand in the background for this scene.
Mm-hmm.
We cut to Sam crying in bed.
Why are you crying?
I'm just so happy.
We find out that the night before Carrie is supposed to go on this trip with Big, she stays up all night.
Can't sleep.
Trying to have faith. Once again, with the religious. Big shows up.
Does she put out that cigarette?
Oh, I don't know. 'Cause
she this like gave me a little bit of anxiety here. As someone who has to check like everything to make sure it's unplugged or candles are blown out before she leaves her house. The fact that Carrie is smoking a cigarette, pacing back and forth, hasn't slept, so she's not really fully, you know, coherent. Big's outside, and you just see her take the cigarette and kind of dab it out in the ashtray and just leave to go to the Caribbean. Make sure that's out. Put it under some water.
I don't think there's any way that cigarette's going to, like, reignite and burn her apartment
down. We don't even know if it's all the way out. There wasn't a lot of force behind.
It's still in an ashtray.
Doesn't matter. A wind could have blown a curtain into it.
I thought about hopefully she shut her windows before she left.
I don't know what she didn't look like. She cared. She didn't do the once over of the apartment before she got on that. Well,
so she doesn't though. So she goes down. She meets up with Mr. Big. She stops. First of all, the fact that he says we're going to miss the plane. That's what sends me into anxiety.
Yeah, I had anxiety there.
Like the idea of like we might miss the plane. I'm like, well, then don't move.
And the fact that she's bringing like a quilted duffel bag, but then a full hat box. Those were her two pieces of luggage.
Yeah, we're going to miss the plane. And she says like, but stop and let's talk for a minute.
Yeah.
And she just says that she needs a sign.
What, like in those old religious movies, you want a voice from above?
Just tell me I'm the one.
I don't know if we've used the term the one yet, but it does become a reoccurring theme of the one. And I don't know. I don't know if I'm one that believes in the one personally. And you can't say it.
No, you can't say it. And then...
And she says in this moment, she says, I love you.
Yeah.
I don't think she'd said that before
She says, I love you, but I can't.
I love you, but I can't. Yeah.
And I had a few feelings right now. I'm thinking, oh God, we have 6 seasons of this. Because at this moment, I realized, okay, this is the Carrie and Big relationship that we're gonna. It's gonna be like, I love you. He's not gonna answer her. She's gonna be like, I can't. I love you. And you know, I'm like, all right, here we go. And then also, I don't know. Is Carrie? I just need to know how much time is happening, because I feel like she's really. I want to meet your mom. I love you. But he hasn't. I don't know. He's never given her those reasons to.
To me, so when I watched this originally, once again, I was younger than the characters, and I was really, really, really on Carrie's side, and I still have a lot of empathy for her, and I think that she made the right decision
in
not going and staying. But it does become. There is an actress who I love who I asked her for, like, what the greatest advice that she ever got. And she said that it was something to the effect of it hurt her. She had been told, you don't believe men when they tell you who they are. And I think as I watch this later, I look at it and I see, though I don't particularly like Mr. Big and I don't particularly like the way that he treats her, he never lies.
Mm-mm.
He is actually fairly straightforward about what he's willing to give and what he's willing to provide. And she just doesn't want to hear it until she can finally hear it.
Right.
So I have a lot of empathy for her still, but I do look at it and think, you're chasing a phantom, sort of. You're chasing this idea of what you think someone is,
don't rather than accepting who he actually is. Waterfall.
Big's a big waterfall.
Please stick to the.
And we end on faith.
After he left, I cried for a week. And then I realized I do have faith. Faith in myself. Faith that I would one day meet someone who would be sure that I was the one.
Well, I guess it would be nice.
Okay, we're going to get sued all over the place. And that's it. That is the finale. I don't want to talk about it too much more because I want to save as much as we can for our wrap-up, which is also out right now.
Today.
So we're gonna cut this one off right now and then head over to the wrap-up and you can hear our thoughts on the season in general.
Do, 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 do.
See you there.
Do, do, do.
Stay tuned after the credits for some extra clips.
You can subscribe to our new Patreon-only podcast, We Couldn't Help But Wonder, Still Wondering, right now!
For more information, like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at We Couldn't Help But Wonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBW Podcast. And don't forget to check out my new podcast with Vanya Arslanian, Mike and Vanya Can't Not. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. We would love if you would share this podcast with someone, put up a link or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review there.
Most importantly, take care of yourself and let's take care of each other.
Our season one wrap-up is already available, so check it out as we cover our personal highlights and low points of the first 12 episodes of Sex and the City. I'm really going to work on not saying so much.
That's okay.
Wait, did I already tell this story on the podcast? I feel like I might have when I was 18.
And I know, like, this story.
I was 18 and they, like, a psychic read my eyes or something like that. And she said that I had already met the person that I was going to spend the rest of my life with. And that I've just determined that she was talking about me. I may have told that story already.
No, I mean, I just know that.
I don't know if I'm one that believes in the one personally.
Oh, well, because you've already met him.
Because I've already met him. I see him in the mirror every day. He's all right.